6 minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Manor Line on Manx Radio. We're live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. And your chance to have your say. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177. So we've had 12,057 tests on the island. 12,042 are concluded, so that's 15 people waiting results and 101 people waiting tests at the moment. And we're back to a government media briefing tomorrow, Thursday 24th. Chief Minister Mr. Quayle will speak via a live link at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And, of course, that'll be broadcast live on FM and AM on the on Manx Radio. And, of course, you'll hear journalist questions on AM as well. And, of course, the full video link will be streamed via Manx Radio's Facebook page and YouTube as well. 101 people waiting a test. I'm guessing that's because they're tracking and tracing the case that popped up earlier this week. Any thoughts on that matter? And what about the story of Tara Sutton, the Manx student who's been at university in the UK just for a week, From the safe old Isle of Man, she went to Manchester. She goes to Manchester Met University. And Tara Sutton suddenly had symptoms which she described as hellish. Said she was relatively lucky in that her period of feeling ill was quite short. From the safe Isle of Man into Manchester.
It was quite heavy with like headaches and things like that, which made me feel really tired. But then after a few days, it seemed to clear up and I felt a lot better. And then it wasn't until at least a full day after that where I'd realised that I'd completely lost my sense of smell and majority of my sense of taste as well. You just don't want to spread it and like be the one responsible for someone else in case they don't react to it as well as you do.
Are the parties going on at the moment? I know we've seen reports of the UK government trying to crack down on student gatherings.
The main thing is that it's such a big university where I am. It's hard to control everybody. I definitely know people have been two parties and things and they probably shouldn't have. And there's an accommodation down the road from me that had a really big party and I think they had like over 100 people. So there have been things going on. People don't always follow the rules.
What would you say to students who have yet to travel?
Obviously, you've got to bring masks with you, hand sanitizer, because you do have to wear masks. I've only had a week of lectures so far. It's kind of finding a balance between wanting to have a realistic uni time, but then also being safe as well, because everyone's at risk. This year, it's kind of all flipped around, and this year you just got to focus and just do the work. Hopefully in the coming years, when, I don't know, if coronavirus ceased to exist and it wasn't a problem, that we'd be able to have more of a normal experience in the coming years.
And just finally, Tara, obviously we wish you a swift recovery, though it sounds like the symptoms have settled down since they were hellish, as you've described them.
Yeah, it was awful. You just wake up and it's like having a blocked nose. Your sinus is quite sore. You get the chills and then you get a bit hot. So it's weird. All the list of symptoms are so long, but it's so individual to everybody. Like, I've got friends that have reacted really differently to me. Not once have I had a continuous cough or anything like that. So I think you just really don't know. We've been smelling awful things like bleach and just to see if we can actually smell it. And you can feel that the hair in your nose like almost burning and it's really bad, but there's just no sense there.
10 past 12, any thoughts on that? Well, we wish Tara all the best from Kurt Michael, but there you are. That is the situation. 350 students have gone for their first year from the Isle of Man. So we have first years, second years, third years, postgrads, parents taking students to and from. I don't know whether you caught the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson yesterday, last night, and his 6 months. 6 months. They're talking about the army on the streets in England. So it doesn't seem to be going away there. And I just wonder what your thoughts are. Obviously, the Chief Minister will be giving us his thoughts tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And by the way, tonight, 7 o'clock, Peel Centenary Centre, the Health and Social Care Minister will be on his tour, David Ashford, MHK. You're invited for a cuppa and a chat. Always a nice cup of tea at the Peel Centenary Centre. See David Ashford tonight, 7 o'clock at Peel Centenary Centre as well. And, of course, you have the opportunity to speak directly to him. He'll be there tonight, 7 o'clock in Peel. Andy, regarding the COVID-19, I just wonder why the number of people awaiting tests has shot up to 101. Are they testing key workers or are these people with the actual symptoms? Could we be looking at another lockdown, says Am. I'm guessing that 101 people are the people through track and trace. So they're just trying to find out all the people that have been possibly contacted by the people, by the person who has been diagnosed as positive. It may be that that was a flight. Could be. I'm only hypothesising, but it could be that. But anyway, that's the news, and we'll get more. As I say, you can get more tonight in person with David Ashford at the Peel Centenary Centre, or tomorrow live 4 o'clock on Manx Radio's YouTube and Facebook page for the Chief Minister, and of course also live on air. Big Joe. All through this virus, the government has expressed its thanks to the Great Manx public for following instructions and keeping the virus at bay. We went over 100 days without a case, but we're letting people troop back and forth in non-emergency cases. Wouldn't it be a pity if we managed to import the virus back to the Isle of Man? This will be, I think, disrespectful to the Manx people who've worked hard to try and fight against the virus, says Big Joe. Okay, point taken, Big Joe. It just depends. And again, there has to be two sides of the balance. Do we lock everything down and live here and nothing else comes in? Or do we have to live? The fact that there are some essential workers that do have to come to the Isle of Man. There are essential medical people, essential people who are working on the promenade in construction. So some people do have to come in from across. And again, compassionate reasons, people go across, people go to see family. Some people make the decision that that's what they want to do. And at the moment, it's inside the law. They're guidelines, and we know where the law starts and finishes where that concerns. So we're relying on people to behave themselves, people to observe the rules. Luckily, my partner has been working from home since the start of the COVID outbreak, says this correspondent. But the family laptop almost is now exclusively used for work, has had enough and needs replacing. The employer in question doesn't contribute to the replacement of the laptop, broadband, electricity or heating to my place, to the place of my partner's new working environment. Is there any way we can apply for tax relief on these costs? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I would imagine if you're self-employed or running a company, you can factor in tax relief for any cost that you'll need to work from home. If you're PAYE, I would imagine that's something a bit different, although I can't understand why any employer will be expecting you to use your own computer if they're wanting you to work from home. Presumably, they're going to supply it. I don't know whether you're working from home or whether your employer has supplied you with the requisite technology to work from home. As for heating, well, maybe they'll say just put a pullover on. If four people from the same address return from the UK, test positive for the virus after 2 weeks, are they all virus-free, inquires DS. And perhaps parents paying for a 7-day test after transporting students are the ones waiting for tests. Could be a good point as well. So anyway, we wish Tara Sutton all the best as well. Now, some other things that are bubbling up. Just a quick point about the drop-in sessions for private landlords. There's going to be one tomorrow. There was one yesterday at Braddon Church Hall. Tomorrow is St Paul's Church Hall in Ramsey. There's an informal drop-in session for private landlords to find out about the proposed changes to legislation and discuss them with the Isle of Man government. Now, this follows that public consultation exercise on the Landlords Registration Private Housing Bill, which closed in July. The Department of Infrastructure is eager to maintain engagement while the bill is being finalised as well. They want to hear what you have to say. Political members and officers will be there to discuss the introduction of the bill and its practical implications. That's tomorrow, the 24th, at St Paul's Church Hall, and a week tomorrow at Port St Mary Town Hall. And now, if you rent property on the Isle of Man and you've lost your job during the pandemic, you'll have been relieved to hear that the government's put a freeze on evictions for those who owe rent until December. But the Alabama Office of Fair Trading has been contacted by at least a dozen people seeking advice after being served illegal eviction notices. So what if what can you do if you feel you've been put under unfair pressure to pay up when you can't afford to? If you're having trouble paying your rent, this is Sean Cowper talking to John Pete from the Office of Fair Trading.
Within that period, a landlord cannot evict a tenant for reasons related to non-payment of rent, whether that's in full or in part. And if a landlord issues a notice of eviction to a tenant, highlighting that as being the reason for the notice, then that notice is not valid. Landlords are allowed to issue notices of evictions for other reasons, for example, criminal damage, but not for reasons related to rent.
And so what should someone do then if they get a notice that they do believe is illegal?
They should contact us initially. In my opinion, it is only my opinion, I've not sought legal advice on this, but if a landlord knowingly issues a notice of eviction and highlights the fact that it's down to non-payment of rent to try and scare a tenant out of occupation, then that could constitute harassment of a debtor, which is a criminal offence under the Moneylenders Act 1991, and we'd be very interested in that, as would the police. I'd say any tenants who think that landlords are perhaps, and there's no evidence of this, but landlords are perhaps being creative in trying to get them out of a property, should perhaps contact us for advice as well. They may not be quoting non-payment of rent as being the reason, but they may be being creative, if you know what I mean. We won't stand for that. Anybody who has any reason to believe that a landlord is trying to evict them illegally should contact the Office of Fair Trade initially.
And have you had much contact from tenants who found themselves in this position?
We haven't had as many as we thought. We've had at least a dozen. It's probably more now, because those figures were produced a few days ago for a similar question. We don't think we're under recording, but we may be. It may be there's a bit of a time lapse, but we had at least a dozen. Now, when I was going through the figures, I was making sure that they were specifically about these emergency regulations, not about other tenancy issues. There could be other people who've made inquiries, who've contacted the debt counselling service, who perhaps haven't been recorded yet, but we've not had as many as we thought, it's fair to say.
John Pete from the Office of Fair Trading. If you want any more information on this, if you've been served an eviction notice for non-payment of rent or partial non-payment of rent, first of all, it's illegal. And if you want more information, the Office of Fair Trading is on 686 500. 686 500. They're, of course, at Tyche Llewellyn on the Foxdale Road in St John's. Telephone number 686 500. But tenants aren't the only ones facing financial issues. There's another side to this. Some smaller landlords rely on the income from their properties. Charity Housing Matters tackles a number of areas, including acting as a mediator between landlords and tenants. Director of the Charity Housing Matters and trustee is Chris Barr.
There are a lot of landlords who are small landlords with, say, one property that they rent out or a couple of properties, and they may be pensioners or whatever, and they're relying on that for their income. So if there's no rent coming in, the landlord's income is drastically reduced. Basically, the way we would look at it is that it's better if the landlord gets something rather than nothing. So if somebody finds themselves in a situation where they're in property, they lose their job because of the health crisis or whatever. I see recently this week that there was redundancies down at the airport, etc. So if people find themselves unable to pay their rent, we would try and speak with those people, with the landlords, and see if we can work something out that the person could maybe make some form of ongoing payment, even if it wasn't them the full amount, etc.
If someone's in a position at the moment where they can't pay their rent, they're not being evicted because of these measures, what happens in a few months' time when that restriction is lifted and they're left with several months' worth of debt? Does there need to be some protection in place then?
I'm not sure what way the government are going to address that through legislation. I assume that will be covered by some form of government legislation. But what we would try and do in Housing Matters is we would get the tenant in, we would speak to the landlord, we would ask both parties if we could maybe work out some form of repayment schedule so that if a tenant, say, had been unable to pay their rent for 3 or 4 months and the landlord had no income, maybe they could pay a bit extra, a few pounds extra each week and basically pay off their arrears if that was possible.
What's the potential long-term impact for tenants here then if they end up potentially being evicted down the line? Would they have a bad rep and maybe struggle to get another property?
Well, I think that's the problem. Nobody, I think, wants to see anybody evicted or out on the streets. It's very important that everybody is housed. It's very important everybody has a roof over their head because that brings stability. A lot of the problems with people not having stability in their lives is through drug problems, alcohol problems, etc. And those are only exacerbated when somebody feels that it's hopeless, they've no place to go, they've no home, etc. So we would do everything in our power to work with both tenants and landlords to try and ensure that people can remain in the premises which they're in, the premises which they're renting.
Well, that's a circle to square, isn't it? How do you approach that? That's Housing Matters, Chris Barr from Housing Matters. They've got a Facebook page if you want to take a look at that, if it's something that affects you. The amount of debt, the possible amount of deferred rent that will possibly accrue, it will be something that will have to be addressed at some point, as Chris said. Perhaps the government have got something up their sleeve where that's concerned. And at some point in the future, we'll be talking to the Treasury Minister just to see where that goes. But as we stand at the moment, it's a situation that affects people, because obviously there are parts of the economy where people have been made redundant, people have lost their jobs. Now, the Isle of Man's always had a relatively small amount of unemployment, but it does affect some people. And if it impacts on the ability to pay rent, then people's lives we're talking about, and sometimes people with families' lives that we're talking about. Any thoughts on the matter? If you're both sides of the wall, if you want to talk about it, if you're someone who is struggling to pay the rent, or indeed if you are a landlord who is in that position as well, because it affects all sorts of people. Text, email or call, all you need to do is just get in touch and give us your point of view. Perhaps paying for a 7-day test after transporting students waiting for the results. That's the 101, you reckon. Big Joe, I agree with Big Joe. They say 450 people paid for the 7-day test. We need to go back to a step and close the borders apart from emergency reasons. Do you really need to go away for a Primark shop? It's a bit cruel, isn't it? Will the government pay for the shortfall in unpaid rents? After all, there's legislation that's being imposed, says DS as well. Just to clarify, says Billy, we were talking about flu jabs yesterday. Flu jabs will be in Ramsey Courthouse, all groups up to 64 years old and over 65. That'll be in Ramsey next week. It's going to be, I think, for 3 days. Andy dropped me a note and said, I hope the minister closes the borders tomorrow. That's Chief Minister Quayle. The government did so well when the island had COVID. Let's not forget the people who lost their lives to the virus. We don't want to be caught on the back foot and be too late. We don't want any more losses to loved ones as well. We're still on about these camper vans, the mobile homes that have got UK plates, a number of UK motorhomes at the grandstand as well. They've been here since January, and the back of the grandstand. Oh, they're on the road, aren't they? Upper Duke's Road, between Upper Duke's Road and the back of the old prison. I've seen some of those there. They've been there since January, paying no rates. Are people living inside those? I don't know. They look a bit unkempt, so maybe they're not living inside them. Back to the milk price, went up 5p a pint yesterday. Shops seem to sell mostly 500cc or litre cartons. Doorstep deliveries are the same. 500 mils, currently 55p a litre, is a pound. By how many pence and what percentage is the rest of the items going up on the increase? Does anybody know? It's important, says John, that we don't see the scarcely seen pint. Ah, the scarcely seen pint, John. What happens if the landlord can't afford to pay the mortgage and the bank wants to repossess the property? Will the government pay the mortgage? all questions, because not all landlords have dozens and dozens of properties. Some only have a couple. Some only have one. Text or email, or call if Mr. Quayle opens the borders. He might be blamed for infections. If off-island travel isn't suspended and the virus gets into the community, then he isn't directly to be blamed. I think finance is the key. What do you mean by finance, G? Do you mean the economy? And interestingly as well, I don't know what you're saying about Mr. Quayle. Interesting how we personalise things, isn't it? How suddenly the Chief Minister himself, personally, that person is responsible for it. Mr. Quayle is a person, he's doing the job. So do we blame the person or do we blame the job? They'll open the borders when the virus has spread, says one correspondent. Here's Pete now, who says, I live in rented accommodation in town as my wife has a disability and I have a flat let out to cover the rent out of town. The tenant has already asked for discount, but he's working from home. I need to go out to work. So will the government subsidise me if my tenant decides not to pay? Well, Pete, I think it depends whether is your tenant still earning a full wage from what they're doing, or are some people, you know, just playing the game, as it were, just wanting a discount for a discount's sake? This idea about rental properties and whether or not someone can afford to pay the rent, I mean, if there's a genuine reason, then there will be a genuine reason. Are there really some people who would use the system and the situation we're in to benefit them by not paying the rent, do you think? 27 minutes after 12 midday. Man in line, text, email or call today. Manx Radio.
Now at Quayside, discover the X-Mist Room Sanitizer. Clinically certified to fight bacteria and germs, including coronavirus. Simply activate this room sanitizer, and in 1 hour, the microscopic coating will eliminate 99.9998% of all germs, bacteria and viruses. Also available for vehicles and hand sanitizers, X-Mist is now available at Quayside Tires. Order online and call in today. Quayside!
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677 treble 8 or email reception at advocates.co.im.
CCJ. Construction, large or small, choose CCJ today. We're CCJGroup.co.uk.
CCJ for all commercial and domestic construction projects. With professional in-house construction project management, experts in resin, gravel, paving, excavations, building work, drainage and more, including operated and self-drive plant hire.
CCJ Group 670-95.
Now is the perfect time to join Peel Golf Club. It's the friendly golf club with a wide range of affordable membership options to suit every golfer. We're confident we'll have a membership package to suit you. Non-members are also welcome with Peel Golf Club's pay-as-you-play option. Peel Golf Course is well-maintained, has a thriving ladies section and a lively clubhouse. For information on membership and more, search online for Peel Golf Club or email plgc@manx.net.
When it comes to building and DIY supplies, shop where the professionals shop. Haldane Fisher for concrete blocks to roof trusses, timber to tiles, doors to panel pins, boilers to bathrooms, drainage to guttering, and everything in between. Get the job done with the right products from Haldane Fisher. Visit our stores in Douglas and Ramsey, or find us online on Facebook. Proud to be on island.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
New pension legislation allows greater pension freedom for Manx residents. Come and talk to Blackford Financial Services. We'll give you information about your specific pension options and how this may affect your retirement planning. To find out more and to arrange a no-obligation chat about your pension arrangements, call Blackford Financial Services on 627 674 or visit online at blackfords.im. Blackford's, retirement planning made easy.
It's very much available for absolutely everybody. Anybody that wants to come through our doors is made to feel welcome.
On Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, you can join me for Shachle. Shay Robert de Carslack Mish. I'm Bob Carswell.
There are a lot of people that John didn't get on with. I don't really see that he got on very well with any bishop.
Hear all about it by joining me, Bob Carswell, Robert de Carslack, on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock for Shachle.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 29 minutes before one. Just a quick note that GPs are going to be away from surgeries this afternoon. GP appointments won't be happening between 1 and 6 today. If you need to see a doctor urgently, you need to just call the surgery for an appointment with the on-call GP. All practices are going to be open this afternoon to collect test results, make appointments and get repeat prescriptions as normal. But the GPs are in an education session. They were established 2012, I think it was, to give GPs the opportunity to discuss developments in medical care, best practice, that sort of stuff, just to examine ways that they can enhance care for you. So they're away between 1 and 6 today. GPs will be back on duty tomorrow morning. A quick congratulations, by the way. She's just got in as an MHK, Claire Christian, but she's already got appointments to two departments in the government as well, as agreed by the Chief Minister. Claire Christian, Douglas South MHK, will serve with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture and Department of Infrastructure. As she represents Douglas South and she's in DESC, maybe she can ask about the flumes at the NSC in her patch. We'll see. I mentioned that milk's gone up. It was announced yesterday the cost of a pint has gone up from 5p. Next Thursday, the managing director of the Isle of Man Creamery is Finlay MacLeod, and this is the details about it.
We haven't had a price increase for milk on the Isle of Man since 2012, and it was thought by the committee, which consists of the Office of Fair Trading, the National Farmers Union, and it's chaired by the Minister of DEFA, that this was an appropriate time. It was actually initially agreed to have a price increase in April, but because obviously of the lockdown at that time and the uncertainty relating to the economic factors, the price increase was delayed. We have a 1 litre plant-based milk carton at £1.05, £1.05. We've got a half litre, which is now going to 60 pence, so that's a 5 pence per unit increase as well.
Finlay MacLeod, a 5p on the cost of a pint of milk. Not bad after all this time. So 65p per pint from October. 65p, the humble 13 shillings. What can you get for 65p? In your mind's eye, can you imagine what 65p buys? There was only one man for the job, John Moss. I'm being a store flaneur, wandering around this large Douglas store, seeing what's on offer for 65p or less, which is what it will cost to get a pint soon in October. 65p, let me see. Well, in the meat aisle, no joy, it's all above 65p. £2 seems to be the low watermark. Perhaps the aisles with the crisps and the like will give me a better shot of coming in under the bar, or should that be the moon? Well, this, what is this? Ella's Kitchen Strawberry and Banana Melty Puffs. They are obviously under 65p. This is as well. Maryland Cookies, Choc Chip. And the Maltese. This is a Christmas thing, isn't it? Yeah, Maltesers Reindeer. That's well under 65. No, it's not. It's only just under 65. Let's move on. And I'm loafing about in the bread aisle to see what I can spend my hard-earned crust on. The loaves are all over a pile. Oh, no, no, this is well under 65p. It's a pack of crumpets. 9 crumpets, 40p. It's the one, obviously, though. You know, down there. They're all above 65p, well above 65p. On the dairy counter, I found this as a 007, my termit, or raspberry yoghurt. How much money penny is this? Well, it's less than 65p. The crumpet or the milk, then? The milk or the crumpets, which the packets assure me are deliciously fluffy. The choice is yours. Chris is with us. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hello, Andy. I'd like to talk about private landlords, and I will be going to the meeting on Thursday night. I am a private landlord, and I've got 11 other friends that are also. We all own like 1, 2, 3, or 4 properties, and one owns a few more, but we're all going to pack it all in. We're all just going to ask the tenants to leave. My tenants have now gone, and I'm grateful for that. We're just not going to accept the landlord's bill. It's so biased against the landlords. It's just like you just read out earlier on, how tenants can stop paying if they can't afford it. But what about the landlord that has a mortgage, has to get some money in to pay that rent? The government's doing nothing for us at all. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, the meeting on Thursday night. And I think it's very much like homestay. My wife and I used to do homestay, and we really enjoyed it. We had a lot of really nice people. Regular people came back. There used to be over 900 people doing homestay, and because of legislation, it's now down to 140 on the island doing homestay. That's properties. And I think the same's going to happen with the private landlords, just judging it from my 11 friends that are tenants. You know, if they don't get this legislation right, there's going to be a lot of homeless people. And I hope that the government's got housing for them ready.
What will you be saying then to the officials and to the politicians?
Well, the first thing I'm going to go down there, I'm going to ask them if they could explain it to me a little bit, because it's an 85-page document. And I actually struggle with reading and writing a little bit. I've done my best to try and understand it. But it's so onerous against the landlord. You know, there's fines for this, fines for that, inspection fees if things aren't right. Our last tenants in one of our properties were with us for 13 years. If we were such bad landlords, they wouldn't be there. And we've never had to ask a tenant to leave, and we've never had a tenant want to leave until just recently, until this bill's kicked off. You know,
where's this come from, Chris? Where's this attitude come from?
Well, we're all just fed up with government legislation, and it's like they are trying to rule, dictate to us what we are going to do.
But surely government understands the kind of dynamic of this, i.e. somebody's got a property, they want to rent it to somebody who needs a property, and a contract's entered into. Why does the government need to get involved?
I honestly don't know, Andy. I think it may be because of some bad landlords, but there's also legislation already out there that can deal with these bad landlords. I don't honestly know, but, you know, they're going to be in a real mess, I think. Especially, you know, just take my 11 friends, which I will be going down to see the government on Thursday and telling them of these people, and see what they've got to say, because I think it's going to be a real big homeless problem for the Isle of Man. You know, just judging the homestay scheme, you know, 900 down to 140 now, because of legislation with homestay. That's why we packed it in. You know, and the strange thing is, Andy, we did homestay probably about 15 years and we never killed a person yet. You know, but this legislation that came out for homestay just crippled it, crippled the whole homestay market.
So, I'm just eager to know, really, why do you think they think that more regulation is needed? Where does this philosophy come from?
I think it's throughout the government, really. If you look at other things, if you just look at other things that government is doing that's enforcing upon us, it's like the speed cameras. I'm 61 year old. I'm not really interested in going fast on the roads anymore myself. I'm quite happy tootling along. But if you place a speed camera, there's got to be markings on the road, I believe, so that you know that the speed camera is there and it judges how fast you've gone from the markings. Well, everybody's going to find out where the speed cameras are and they'll just go speeding elsewhere, won't they? So that's just more legislation that's going to just ruin this island. And government seem to be doing this all the time. Like in Ramsey, you could always park on the quayside a few years ago. It was never a problem. Then they put the yellow lines and the boxes and actually reduce parking spaces and enforce legislation on us to only be allowed to park for 2 hours.
Oh,
and
I see.
Of us can park there.
So it's kind of symptomatic of over-regulation or indeed a perception of a lessening of freedom, as it were.
That's how I feel. And I sort of feel that the politicians haven't really got anything to do. So they're thinking up of all these new things. What can we do next? How can we enforce things on the public next?
You know,
it's getting really, really disappointing the way that the island's being run.
Well, Chris, I wish you well in the meeting on Thursday. And if you want to call in with your reaction to it, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Could I just say one thing, Andy? I can't find anywhere the actual times that the meeting's on. I'm presuming it's the time that the first meeting was on, which is 4 to 7.30.
Yeah, all the meetings are 4 till 7.30, so Thursday, tomorrow, St Paul's Church, all in Ramsey, and a week tomorrow, Port St Mary Town Hall, 4 till 7.30.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us, Chris. Big story on the island today is a report by the independent management consultant Beamans has been published by the Manx government today about education on the island and the relationship between the Department of Education, Sport and Culture and schools on the island. Now, we've heard this many, many times, and you possibly know some of the union leaders better than members of your family. A man who's been following this for ages and has read the report today, Ewan Gawn from Manx Radio News. Ewan, it's fairly explosive, isn't it?
Yes, we've been waiting for this for quite some time as well. The Beamans report's actually been in the hands of government for at least a month or so. So it's been published by the government today, and really some stinging criticism in there of the relationship between schools and the department and how that has developed over time and how we're up to where we are today with the industrial dispute.
How specific is it?
Well, I mean, it goes into an enormously detailed document, 111 pages examining the relations, like we said, between the department, managers, teachers, schools, unions. But one of the headline quotes, really, the relationship between the department and schools is fractured and must be repaired. It's not singled out anyone for criticism, but it's talking about the culture that's developed between the two parties there. One, it says, which is antagonistic, non-collaborative. The teachers, it says, feel disengaged and demotivated by lack of consultation on things like the development of policy. And all this atmosphere has led to a gulf developing between the schools and the department. And that's led teachers to turn to their unions, which is, of course, why we have the present industrial dispute.
And remember, Tim Glover went to that meeting up at Mount Murray, up at the Comis, said it was the biggest meeting he'd ever had.
Yeah. And
he'd ever been to.
And this report is really looking at why we're seeing that increased union activity. And it is because of that breakdown in that relationship. The chief minister who commissioned this report after basically fearing for the delivery of education, said it's not an easy read, and this relationship between teachers and the department has damaged morale, and it was a threat to the higher standard of education. What he and the Council of Ministers have promised to do now is an urgent action plan to start acting on some of the findings of this report.
So what are they hoping to do?
Well, there's a number of things suggested. Some of them are structural changes to separate the roles of line managers for primary and secondary schools, separate the powers within the Department of Support away from the inspection and quality assurance. So how can you have help when you're getting the same people marking your homework? So separating those two. A strengthening of the role of school governors as well is included. They'd become responsible for accountability, oversight and insurance of the educational financial performance of their schools. But long term, it's also suggested a new Manx Education Board could be established to manage and coordinate and support the delivery of education, which could be separate from the department, which would manage policy and inspection.
Is there any timetable on when they're hoping to get things moving?
All we have at the moment is the Chief Minister's promise to work with the Education Minister to achieve an urgent action plan. So I'm assuming, given the critical nature of what's come out here, that will be something that we can expect to see very shortly. And of course, to say we will be speaking to the Chief Minister, the Education Minister, unions, teachers, all involved parties on Manx Radio, hopefully on Update and in Breakfast tomorrow.
Okay, and parents of students, of children who are at schools, primary schools, secondary schools, the high schools and University College Isle of Man, everybody's going to be listening, because we've heard hints and allegations for months now of people saying, you know, things aren't what they should be. We've heard names bandied around. We've heard unions saber-rattling. And at the back of all this, there's this intangible product called education. And there are young people's lives, Ewan, at the back of all this. They're not saying that the education system is failing on the Isle of Man, are they?
Not failing, but certainly in need of attention to address that relationship. I suppose education is a strange one in the fact that teachers do the teaching, schools do the schooling, the department runs all of that. There's always going to be some element of separation. So if a breakdown in relationship happens, it's bound to get a bit fractious. And of course, when you add in all the complications of coronavirus and the preparedness and the homeschooling that was undertaken over the last several months, you know, this doesn't come at a time when things are settled. It comes at a time when things are unsettled. But like we said, the report is out there now. It's out in the public domain for people to digest. I would recommend, if you are interested, you can go to the Manx Radio website. We've got a link to it. It's 111 pages, a big document, but definitely some interesting insights in there.
Okay. And if you do go to manxradio.com, click on news, click on the report, and make sure you have plenty of ink in your printer.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate, and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
This is Andy Winter with you through till 1. You can text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or you can call 66 13 68. Lots of texts and emails in now.
Welcome aboard Tours IOM, where I'm afraid there's been a murder. Join us for a murder mystery as we go back to the 1920s at the Regency Hotel. Can you, your fellow guests, and dear old Mr. Catsby solve the mystery that awaits? If you think you have what it takes, book a date now at tours.co.im.
Visit tours.co.im.
Can we get the garden sorted? Yes, we can. At Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road, you can find all you need for this time of year. Autumn bedding, including pansies, violas, primulas and cyclamen. Find spring bulbs, planters, roses, seasonal tools and even gift sets for garden lovers. And look out for special offers throughout the store. Call 816506 or go on Facebook. All down at Ramsey Garden Centre.
Snuggle up and ease into autumn with Paradise and Gale. We've a great selection of sumptuous sofas, stylish dining furniture, beautiful bedrooms, and much more. With unmissable prices, 0% finance, and immediate free delivery across the island. It can only be Paradise and Girl, Michael Street, Peel. For service with a personal touch and to try before you buy, visit us today or find us on Facebook. Paradise and Girl. You'll love our furniture. You'll love our prices.
Audi, Bentley, Chevrolet, Hyundai, Jaguar, Kia, Lamborghini, Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes, Mini, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Porsche, Renault, Seat, Skoda, Subaru, Suzuki, Toyota, Vauxhall, Volkswagen. What do all these big brands have in common? They all approve the Auto Solutions top of the range aircon service station for gas recovery, recycling and servicing. Aircon keeps you cool in warm weather and dehumidifies to keep your windows clear in damp weather. Have your aircon service at Auto Solutions.
670-145.
At Conister Bank, we've been helping local people for over 85 years, and we're here to help your businesses through this global pandemic. As a local bank, we can either stand by or stand up, and we choose to stand fast to our commitment to this island. If your business has been affected, we can help with our new working capital loan. With repayment terms over 1 to 6 years, for the first 12 months, you will only repay interest to allow your business time to recover. Apply online today at conisterbank.co.im. Terms and conditions apply.
Load
load up your shopping bag with local goodness at one of the five Isle of Man farmers markets, where quality, value and sustainability really matter. With a variety of produce available island-wide, fresh and direct from the producers, you can chat with the stallholders, find out more about their products and even get a recipe tip or two from the people who are passionate about what they do. Whether you want to buy or trade, visit iomfm.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Isle of Man Farmers Markets. Fresh from the producers.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 10 minutes to one on Manx Radio. Hi, Andy. There are always scamps who will exploit the situation, bending the system to suit their own dishonest ends, says Kath. That's people who maybe have kept a job, but say they've lost their job and not paying rents because of it. Terry, regarding further potential lockdowns, the only time I heard the term lockdown before the virus was in prison documentaries. This is modern-day feudalism, gives our powers away to technocrats and civil servants. We need to get back to living our lives. So if you're in the risk category, isolate. Remember that only a small fraction of people who get coronavirus may die. These people usually have pre-existing chronic illnesses. Most don't even notice they've got the virus, and just as many die from ordinary flu, says Terry. This is totalitarian take over, says Terry, and the conspiracy theorists. The real problem over housing, says James, is the fact that government has relied on the private market to solve a growing housing crisis. People on low wages can never obtain the means to own their own home, and government should be building more council housing to alleviate the problem. Low-paid people are stuck in the private rental sector, with the majority of their wages gobbled up in rents and, in some cases, paying high rent for hovels, says James. And an interesting point of view, and again, something we've raised many times with all the commissioners about building housing, about building commissioners' houses, and whether or not they should be putting public sector houses up to move people into. Of course, the one thing that's different, of course, that there is no possibility of ever buying a public sector house, so people could be in them for 30, 40, perhaps 50 years. Well, you pay your money and you take your choice. But I just wonder what your thoughts are over that matter. David's with us. Good afternoon, David.
Andy, what about this internet again?
Well, you're not down again, are you, in Ballasalla?
We were. I got Alexa to play Manx Radio FM at about 11:15, and it turned around and told me, sorry, we can't connect to the internet.
Is everything else working on the internet down there?
I've no idea, Andy. But this is getting a joke, Andy. This really is now getting a joke. You're wanting people, not you in particular, to come to the Isle of Man and set up business. Nobody's going to come with a Mickey Mouse service like that. People want to be able to get on the internet and do business and everything else freely. And they can't.
Well, if anybody else has got problems with it, then please get in touch with us. But if Ballasalla's having problems, then well, there just seem to be a rash of problems at the moment, don't there?
But Andy, this is the third week that we've had it. Last week it was the phones down. The week before, the major crash, and nobody has come on from Manx Telecom, such as Gary Lamb, to explain it. Now, I know that there is an investigation, and so there should be. But, Andy, nobody seems to want to come on and explain things and accept responsibility.
OK, right, we'll chase that up today, David. Thanks for prompting us on that.
OK.
All right, thanks for that. Well, that information and the look at the whole problem from the Communications Commission is on the way, apparently. Big Phil says, just as well the brewery aren't selling milk. It'll be £3 a pint. TJ says, you want something for under 65p? A packet of chicken noodles, 60p, Castletown ShopRite. Dear me. All the best to you. Thank you for getting in touch. And also, just to say, Andy just said Tara Sutton, the Manx student at Manchester Metropolitan, was she saying you should smell bleach to test your smell? I don't think she was. And let me reiterate, don't smell bleach to test your sense of smell, please. Tony just said, can we have another internet provider? Well, there are two on the Isle of Man. Oh, a quick word from the Manx Blind Welfare Society. This week is Vision Awareness Week on the Isle of Man. And tonight, that Healthy Eyes Cookery Evening is on at Corran Court, the Manx Blind Welfare Society HQ. At Corran Court in Onchan, by the way. It's a free event. If you want to find out a selection of meals that are good for eye health, share recipe cards, there's a taster session as well. Information from the Manx Blind Welfare Society is on 674727. Find out if there's a space tonight. 674727. It's a Vision Awareness Week 2020. Lots of things happening. I think they're also doing a bag pack at Tesco later on this week. So that number again is 674727. Manx Blind Welfare. Email inquiries at mbws.org.im. That's it for the Man in Line. By the way, 2 weeks tomorrow, we're going to be live at King William's College with the students. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howie Kane. Back tomorrow.